I'm checking now. He's supposed to be saying he's trying to get back on or whatever he's doing. I don't see him, so let's give him about 5 minutes and see. Cause I just texted him the meeting ID number, and so hopefully he will be joining us shortly.
Okay, then hold on for 1 minute. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. No, this is Zoom. Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. I just texted you something in the email. Yes, a group email come from, I guess, the National Black Unity News. All right, so we on now, so, okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Brother Satawi.
Yes, sir.
Look, I'm great starting now. I know your broadcast has started, so I'm going to get this thing recorded and set up the live broadcast. Give me 1 minute, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys can chat amongst yourself until I be back in 1 minute, you know, because it'll take but a second to set this up.
What's up, Vernon?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going, man.
All right.
It's going, Vernon.
Yeah.
Yeah, what you have with your TV program?
It's up and running. I'm going to try to get something... maybe try to do something with the protesters.
Yeah.
At least hear somebody's story.
Yeah, well, whenever you come out there, man. You got it.
All right, gentlemen, I'm great to start the recording, and we're going to get started.
We're waiting on you.
I know, but you know, everybody was tired of being impatient. That's okay. All right. Here we go.
This meeting is being recorded.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy from the National Black Unity News. And today we have a special guest that we are waiting on. He'll be on shortly talking about the diaspora and the African continent and how we as a people can work together. And unity is the key because there's a lot of discord and there's a lot of other things that's taking place in our communities, and there's all types of forces that will do anything to keep us separated, because everybody knows when we unite and pull our resources together, things can happen and will happen. And Brother Satawi, are you available, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Normally, the way we like to start our podcast, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to bring your attention to this as well. Is that we are now broadcasting live on Facebook, on Blog Talk Radio, and other formats as well. And so we moving on up and stretching on out and reaching out, because what we have to say here tonight and every time we do a podcast is extremely important, because like I say, information is power if we use it properly and effectively. And with that being said, I'm going to turn the podcast over to my brother and my partner, Brother Satawi Jahi, who always has positive, powerful information he would love to share with us. Brother Satawi, you on, sir.
Okay, all right. Thank you, David. Yeah. So, reading for the day from Daily Motivations for African American Success by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough. Right on. Quote, I was just trying to stay alive, Rodney King, victim of beating that precipitated the Los Angeles Rebellion. As a black male, I know how difficult it is for black men to feel valued and strong each day of our lives. We are viewed negatively and reacted to as potentially threatening. I know that life for black men in America continues to be a precarious ordeal. trying to stay afloat in a less than sympathetic society can be life-stunning, mentally and spiritually crippling. But there is hope and there is an answer. The greatest gift we can give the black male is to encourage him, affirm his presence, and help him if he needs rights, need right for his life. A young business executive took some work home to complete for an important meeting the next day. Every few minutes, his small son would interrupt his train of thought. After several such interruptions, the young executive buy the evening paper with a map of the world on it. He took the map in a number of pieces and told his son to put the map back together again. He figured this would keep his son busy. However, in a few minutes, the boy excitedly told his dad he had completed his task. His father was astonished and asked the boy, "How did you have that done in such a short order? The boy replied, "There was a picture of a man on the other side. I just turned the paper over and put the man together. When I got the man right, the world was right. When we help our men get it right, Black America will be right. We need to be enthusiastic about the hopes and aspirations of our males. We must encourage them and show them that we believe in their ability and power. Our future is not at the mercy of outside conditions. Our destiny lies within us. Let's help our black men get it right." When you see a young brother on the street, affirm his presence. I will smile and say, "How are you doing, brother? We need you." And that's so important and true today because, as y'all know, we're going through I just got a message from a guest. But anyway, what we're going through today is, okay, I'm going to try to three-way him in, David, all right?
Okay. All right, so I'll take it here from here until you know, just cue me in when you're ready, okay?
Okay, brother.
And as Brother Satavi is speaking to our guest speaker because he's having some technical difficulties, he's coming from out of California. And he having some technical difficulties, so we're going to try to three-way him in. But the discussion for this evening is bridging the gap between the African continent and throughout the diaspora. And thinking and just saying, you know, when people look at us. They look at us just now, you know, as individuals. They put us as a lump of us. You know, they try to look at us all in one lump sum. And then they try to judge us at that as well. And of course, that's not fair. It's not scientific. And there's no things like that at all. But in this day, in man's world, we all lump together. Because you got Asian people, you got all of this, but you know, I'm going to tell you something. An agent told me one time, I'm just speaking about here in the United States right now, where they say there's all types of minorities. I know a lot of people don't like using that terminology, but he came to me and he wanted to put together a directory, a black directory, because I've been doing that. You know, that's how I cut my teeth dealing with a black directory, keeping money circulating amongst ourselves. And he had the gall, he had the nerve to come to me and say, "I want you to create a black directory for us." And I asked, "Who are the us?" And he was saying, because he was just looking at it from an economical standpoint, because he understood, just like people all over this world understand, that we are powerful and we are rich people. We are the biggest consumers pretty much in the world, as they say. And if we stop spending here and there, a lot of people, a lot of corporations, all kinds of stuff will fall apart. We have proven that throughout, even in this country, we have proven when we boycotted the bus system. When we stop spending, there's consequences. And the gentleman went on to tell me this. He said, even though we may not see it in our own lives, but he said, ask him, why don't you put, I said, your agent seemed to me like you have, you know, capital, you have your home country's backing you, and you have all of this going on. So why would you come to us and you could just go out there and do the research yourself? And he just told me, he said, let me be honest with you. He said, you black people in this country are the most unified people in this country. He said, I don't care what minority comes. He said, but black people are more unified than anybody else. I said, how can you say that? He said, just look at us as Asians. He was saying that China don't deal with the Japanese and Vietnamese don't deal with this one. All of these different people who are classified as Asians, they pretty much don't get along with each other. So therefore, they have a difficult time. They support one another, their own kind. But they don't. Sometimes they don't cross the line when they, like I say, a person from China ain't gonna be dealing too much with a person from Japan, and stuff like that. But he said black people. He said even Hispanics or Spanish speaking people, Mexicans, don't deal with people in Puerto Rico. They get upset when they lumped together like that. He said, but black people, he said, you know, no matter where you come from, all around the world sometimes, even though we may have, he's going to say we have some difficulties with people from Africa or they have difficulties with us, you know, but still, with other people, they see us as one. And I have to kind of agree with him because we are quite, as crazy as it sounds, but when you compare us with other lumps or groups of people, we are totally, like I say, more unified. But then again, he also, since we were having an open discussion, he went on to say, he said, I'll be quick, because this brother, I mean, he was quite open and honest about a lot of stuff, you know, because I was extremely curious about why he would come to me to do something like that, you know. And but he was saying power. He said, because if y'all took y'all strength, and if you guys work together, he said, man, there's nothing. He said, all the resources that y'all have, and especially when we talk about this subject matter tonight, we all know that all the riches that came from out of the continent of Africa, gold, diamond, everything, all kinds of stuff that comes from out of Africa. And yet we have been penetrated just like we've been penetrated in this country. That divide and conquer thing has still exists today. And brothers and Tabi, if you're ready,
yes, sir. I have a guest on. So,
okay, then. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, don't look at our weaknesses. Sometimes we just have to look at our strengths. And so, with that being said, brothers and Tabi, I will be honored if you would introduce our guest.
Yes, our guest is Brother Nwalimu Kabaila, who is head of the Congress of African People, and his topic tonight is y'all getting echoed. Man. His topic tonight is about the cultural development and economic development of Africans in the diaspora in the African continent. So with that said, I'm going to turn it over to Kabaila and let him share what he's working on, and that he can give out his contact information and how people can get in touch with him and everything else that's going on. Habari Ghani.
Brother Satabi, before you get started, because the brother is online with us right now as well, so maybe that's where the echo is coming from.
Hold on.
I was just saying to get in the room. So should I just turn my phone off?
Yeah, you need to turn your telephone off, Brother Satabi, because the brother's live with us right now.
Okay, all right.
All right, sir, you got it.
All right, greetings, brothers. I don't know if I see any sisters or not, but
yeah, we have a few ones.
All right. And hold on a moment. Let me turn this other stuff off because. Okay, there we go. All right, so I appreciate the invitation to come on the program this evening, and I want to just talk about the cultural and economic aspects of our connections with developing relationships with our continental African family and with those of us who live in the diaspora. And I think it has to take several forms. On the cultural level, it becomes a question of establishing and reestablishing what we call three ends of culture, and that's identity, purpose, and direction. And in terms of our identity, I want to talk about duality. And when I say duality, I'm talking about this. There's always two aspects that we have to consider in how we build our relationship with the continent. And as we know and understand, you know, we basically, for the most part, call ourselves African-Americans. We can say African or African in America, but the point is that we have to deal with the fact that even though we are African people, we have been raised and our experience, for the most part, has been in the American context. So we have both identities that we have to deal with. And so one can say that they can discount their American experience, but the fact is that, you know, we were born and brought up here in this context. And just like in the colonial Africa, we're influenced by European values, European practices. And so unless we go through a Sankofa journey in terms of our identity, and the Sankofa journey means that we take the journey back, the personal journey back to reestablishing our identity. And that has to be a conscious effort, okay? It's not something to be left haphazard. It has to be a conscious decision that we make that we are going to return ourselves to our African identity. And the way we do that is through study, through rejecting many of the European values that we have incorporated into our lives, and even the systems that they develop. For example, rule of law. I was a law student, and one of the reasons I dropped out of law school is because I recognized that the legal system was designed to keep us enslaved. And so it was designed for that purpose. And so we had to take a look, as Sheikh Anta Diop taught us, that in his book, Black Africa, he says that, you know, we have to look at our own value system, and we have to develop our own Pan-African ideology. And so when I looked at that and I read that, I understood right away that what we have to base our social order on is spirituality. That's what unites us for the most part. Whether we be in Africa, in Europe, America, South America, in the islands, one of the things that identifies us as a people is our spirituality, our spiritual connectedness. And so, and then if we look back in history, our ancestors, they left us the notes, okay? Our Kemetic ancestors, they wrote on everything. They wrote on the streets. They wrote on walls. They wrote in the pyramids. That we as a people are a spiritually based people. Ma'at formed the basis for Kemetic society for over 3,000 years, 5,000 years actually, and it lasted longer than any other social system in the world. The only thing that comes close is Confucianism, which only lasted for like 1,500 years. But we find that Ma'at, as a spiritual-based ideology, the spiritual-based foundation, laid the groundwork for African society. And so we have to as a people, whether we be on the continent or in the diaspora, we have to look at those things that unite us as a people. And I think it's important that we look back at the spiritual base of society. And so, and then we build on that. And so we look at these dualities, African and American, continental and diasporan, yin and yang in terms of male, female, ka and ba in terms of the spiritual and physical aspects. So these are cultural things that that we have to look at in terms of how we build relationships, how we build how we're going to work together as a global community together. Okay, and so that's the cultural base. And as I pointed out, that's how we have to build on the whole concept of identity. The next aspect that we have to deal with is purpose. This is another thing that culture gives us is purpose, and our purpose has to be one of nation building, okay? And we can't miss these words anymore. In the past, you know, we used to talk around, you know, what we were going to do as a purpose in terms of, you know, what we were going to do, how we were going to do it. And so, but now we can't miss the words. We understand that we have to build, and as the brother was pointing out before I came on, that African people, we are united in many ways. We have a close affinity for each other. It's just the fact that we have to build on these things. We have to develop an ideological structure that unites us as a people, as Diop pointed out in his book. He said in Diop's book, Black Africa, he says that calling ourselves Pan-African is not enough, because Pan-Africanism is not an ideology in sorts. It's a concept. It's a conceptual framework. And so we have to develop a specific ideology within the Pan-African conceptualization that speaks to us directly in terms of how we come together and what we do together in terms of building a nation and realizing the dream and aspiration of people like Marcus Garvey. And so in building this global nation, this global conception of nationhood that Garvey had started, it becomes important that we look at Africa in terms of the resources that it has, the human resources, number one, the mineral wealth, and the natural resources that it has, okay? And then in relationship, the diaspora, and especially with African Americans, you know, we have capital. We have access to capital. And so we talk about building the wealth structure in the African continent, and this is what a lot of African American entrepreneurs and investors, financiers are beginning to realize, and we find that they are engaging in Africa in unprecedented ways. I'm involved with a couple of projects myself, and so we see a large number of African American entrepreneurs and investors investing in Africa. And so what do we look at? We look at bringing technology, bringing the knowledge that we have, because we're also my brother, that's Brother David, if I believe you were the one that was speaking. we also not only have more unity than we tend to realize, but we also, as African Americans especially, we tend to be the most educated Africans on the planet, having access to technical knowledge that many of our other brothers and sisters around the globe don't have. So when we look at building relationships with Africa, we have to look at building based on the assets that each of us have. So if we say that Africans have the human, mineral, and natural resources, then the resources that the diasporans bring, and particularly the African Americans, is that we bring the ability to capitalize projects, to bring the highest form of technology and knowledge that we can share with our brothers and sisters in terms of how they develop as a society. But based on those values that we talked about originally, the spirituality are the values that will define. And I ascribe to instituting the values of Ma'at, because number one, those values are our classical values: truth, justice, harmony, balance, order, propriety, and reciprocity. Those are the main virtues that form the foundation of the Ma'atian system, which comes out of ancient Kemet. And so I believe that we can institute those values, that we need to rescue and restore those values and principles in how we structure a new African nation on a global level. And so what we look at is, what we're looking at now is the possibility and potential of the greatest transfer of technology, knowledge, and capital wealth going into Africa within the next 5 to 10 years. And so I think this is where we need to point our attention. And I just want to say a word, too, about reparations here. Reparations is a necessary battlefield in our struggle to put pressure on the dominant society in terms of repaying for the damage done to our people over 400 to 500 years. And so I'm not saying that that's not a necessary area that we should deal with. I'm just saying that I think there's so much attention to reparations, not understanding the fact that the first aspect of reparations is what? Inherent in that word is the concept of repair. And the first repair is that we repair ourselves. And so what I would advocate is that, you know, we have to look at developing industries that that can provide the kind of wealth building for our community, and that we give ourselves our own reparations, and that we don't totally depend on our oppressor or our enemy to give us reparations, recognizing the fact that that's a necessary battlefield that we engage our enemy on. And I'm not against reparations, but I'm just saying that I think our energy has to be divided where we look at building industries that will provide our own wealth. And I'm going to talk about several of those areas in a minute. And so the next thing that culture gives us, we talked about identity, we talked about purpose. The last thing is direction. And so in terms of direction, culture is, when we look at, if we apply the whole concept of duality, the direction comes on two levels, on a macro level and on a micro level. On the macro level, the areas where we can look at building wealth in relationship with our African brothers and sisters is, number one, in the area of control of the mineral wealth. And some of us are engaged in that process now. There's been several brothers and sisters who have been involved and engaged in this area for a number of years. But now we have some others who are really stepping up to the plate and working with African nations to, in fact, take over their own mineral wealth, because that becomes one of the ways, one of the central ways that the European colonizers have maintained control over the many of their former colonies, having them still pay them taxes instead of them paying for the damage done. They have African countries paying the central countries a tax and making them use France and England's currency as opposed to developing our own African currency ourselves. So that's one of the areas that we have to deal with. The other area, the other industry that I think is important is in agriculture. Africa has the potential. We've always said this. Ever since I was a teenager, some 50 years ago, we used to hear the term that Africa has the potential and possibility of being the breadbasket for the world. And that's because of its climate, its soil, and a number of other things. But that becomes a central area that we can engage with the continent in terms of building up the agricultural sector such that farmers can take their goods to market. We have to help them, in terms of on a micro level, one of the things they need is our roads central points where goods can be taken, exported, and imported in, and those kinds of things. So, and then the other is one more area that I think is important that we have to engage, and that's the area of energy. One of the reasons why a lot of African countries, they have to sell in open-air markets is because of the electricity issue, where they don't have given electricity at all times of the day. And so a lot of people have to go to the market on a daily basis to get their food products. And so it becomes important that we work with the continent in terms of developing a consistent and sustainable energy source. And then, of course, on the micro level, in terms of Africans repatriating to the continent, which becomes an important thing also. For example, like in Namibia, which is used to be Southwest Africa, is now called Namibia. The Leopold killed almost 7 million of the people there. And so the population in Namibia is a country that's about the size of Texas, and they only have 2 million people in the country. And so so there's a lot of potential and possibility for acquiring land there. And, of course, Ghana, I think, was one of the first countries to have a return program. And so so it becomes important that when we go to the continent and to repatriate, that we look at areas where we can develop economic wherewithal and engage people. And some of those areas are like in tourism, natural hair and beauty. And I say beauty because a lot of, as we know, a lot of African, especially African women, are taking bleaching cream. They think it's better to try to lighten their skin or look white as much as possible. And even the hair thing, a lot of still wear weaves and whatnot. So it becomes important in terms of how we engage, that we not only and in some respects, we represent culture as much for the Africans as some of them believe that they represent for us, because, and especially on a pan-African level, because they, in many countries like in Uganda, I have a friend, I've never been to the Condon. I'm going next month for the first time. And we're going for a business deal, but and it's a large one. But the thing is that in many respects, the aspirants are more into learning about our culture. Even in the educational systems on the continent, in many countries, they don't have courses that teach about African history. A lot of the courses are, you know, focused still on the European engagement and involvement in Africa, rather than teaching the African history. And so, but when we put an emphasis on learning our African history, because we have been disassociated, we were cut off, and so we have this this need to identify ourselves with our cultural past, with our heritage. And that's, for example, Kwanzaa becomes one of the ways in which we build that bridge, that cultural bridge between being cut off from our culture and re-identifying with it. And that's why I believe that Black people around the world identify with Kwanzaa so much. 60 million people have now identified with Kwanzaa because of that need to identify ourselves with our cultural heritage and knowing who we are as a people, so that we know, in fact, what we need to do and how we need to do it. And so with that, I'm going to stop here and see if there are any questions or points of discussion or elaboration that need to be explained. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Well, I'll start. I hear echo. But in any case. You said quite a bit, but you enlightened us to the point. Let me try this for a minute. Okay. No, still there.
You may have to mute everybody and just unmute yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's better. So, yes, sir. You know, brother, I appreciate you for coming on with us, man. And you said a mouthful quite a bit. And it's amazing. Because here we are, you know, thinking that, you know, we need to go back into our roots, in which you're 100% right. But at the same time, our family in Africa, they're trying to learn more about our way, you know, and that's I can see how we need one another, you know, to keep us both grounded, because we, you know, we two parts of the same sum. But at the same time, you hit on a powerful point, because we do have technology, education, and things like that that we can take back to the continent, and resources that we can take back to the continent. And do some powerful things. You know, we have the technology, building roads, electricity, setting up, you know, economic centers, and especially the farm and all that land. All, I mean, perfect. You know, like you said, like we said back in the day, it is the breadbasket, because the things that you can do with that. But because of other people, them and they, I like to call them, and we and us. And they had perpetrated us so greatly to keep us so, you know, divided and pitting us against one another. And even in this country, you know, we have a difficult time trying to work with one another because of the mindset, you know. And again, I just want to ask you this question from your perspective. What would be the ideal way for you? And I know you said you mentioned most of those things, is this. Because there's opposition and people all over the world do not want us to come together, they would do everything within their power to keep their wealth and not hip enough. Like the old saying, they don't hip a lame to the game, and because they just may come back and, you know, mess your stuff up. And so, and since you have the knowledge and you know the needs on both it throughout the diaspora, that what is one of the major ways that thing that that's is a point that kind of could, like you said, you mentioned everything that connects with one another. But what is your, from your standpoint, what is the first thing that we really need to do to, I mean, just deal with each other? Now, let me just put it this way. I'm in media. I publish a newspaper. And most people on here are editors. And we write and we try to, you know, everybody here, we got people from different professions. We have real estate people. We have people who are in health and all this kind of stuff. And that's what they talk about in the publication. So they're educating people here in, this, in our own country about their particular industry. And do you see as a point like in the continent where, say, with somebody like me, and we are over there in Ghana to a point, but somebody like me with like, know how to deal with communication, newspapers and stuff like that. I don't know how many is in the continent, but that's a powerful way of communication. It still is. You know, people may not say it's relevant, but that's where information really comes from. So what are your suggestions as Africans in America reach out to the continent and vice versa, that, you know, some of the main points that need to really be discussed before we can get started and, you know, sharing with one another? Let me unmute you, brother. You may have to unmute yourself, sir.
All right.
There you go.
Okay, Brother David, I appreciate that question and understand it correctly. So I think particularly in informing any organization, you know, there are several things you have to be concerned with. One is ideology, which gives you your objectives and goals and aspiration. The second thing is structure. The organization has to be structured along the lines of realizing your ideological goals and where you want to go. The third thing, and is most important, is communication, because unless you In building an organizational structure, unless you have communications, then you don't have a flow of information coming in or going out. And so it becomes necessary and essential in building any kind of organization. And we're talking about building a state, like there's an organization called the State of the African Diaspora. Some people are looking towards building a commonwealth of the diaspora, a diasporan commonwealth, which encompasses all of the Africans outside of the continent. So communications becomes important. And I'm working with youth groups on the continent as well as in the diaspora. And one of the things that we are trying to set up and establish is how do we form communication lines where we can share information, where we can strategize together on a regular basis. So those things become important. So those are the kinds of things that we need to be looking at that we can provide. We have those kinds of resources to set up telecom. I work with a brother out of New York who has one of the most sophisticated security systems in the world. And we're looking to market that, particularly in Africa, and not starting here, but particularly where, so that Africa gets the benefit from it first in terms of its use and distribution. So those are some of the things that we should look at in terms of you know, developing this relationship with the continent.
Okay, fantastic. All right, so people, if you want to ask the brother a question, unmute yourselves and fire away. Brother Satai, you still away on me, Bill.
No, first, I just want to say good evening, and I appreciate, you know, the information. But, you know, I guess my thing is basically on several levels, because we're just in such a, and David mentioned in terms of the division that we just got right here. I mean, I'm almost personally to the level that I think that really would need to happen. I know in America, I mean, I would like to probably even think over in Africa. Both these systems need to be totally dismantled. And black people need to be a part in restructuring these systems where we're putting our own constitution together. We got a part in putting the constitution together. And we're rebuilding the countries. Because I don't, otherwise I just don't see where the fairness is going to come in at the pace that it's going. It'd be another couple hundred years before we ever really catch up because our oppressors still really control everything. I mean, you know, when you talk about education and everything else, and they still control the educational institutions, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know, we only taught what they allowed to teach us unless we seek some knowledge for ourselves. So, I mean, I guess that's where I'm at this here point in time because I think that our history has just shown that we have had too many years waiting, and until this system is dismantled, and I'm going to close with this because, you know, for me, and like I keep saying, you know, it's like Donald Trump. And I keep telling everybody this. Donald Trump is not just there because the Republican Party did not impeach him. Donald Trump is there because white folks is allowing him to push a racist agenda that he's pushing and trying to make sure that they save the white race and keep the white race in power.
Okay. So my unmuted. Okay. Right. And I understand and appreciate what you said. My take on it is that we need to focus. I think there's too much focus on trying to dismantle this system as opposed to building our own system as a replacement and as a reflection of us and a reflection of our history, our heritage, our culture. I think we need to focus on that because America is going to do what it's going to do, mm-hmm. okay? And you're talking about dismantling what is the greatest military force in the world, probably that the world has ever known. I don't know, but you know that's going to come of its own. We can see the fact that Donald Trump is president demonstrates that America is on a path to destruction and that its empire is on the decline. So we can do as much as we can. Again, going back to my initial point about, you know, the battlefields that we need to engage. So that becomes a battlefield, yes, but it's only one battlefield. The main battle, and I think in terms of strategy, national as well as global strategy, we would benefit more by focusing on how we engage in nation building between and among each other as opposed to trying to deconstruct America. America's deconstructing itself. It started deconstructing the minute it was formed because they was talking about, you know, this is supposed to be a new nation for equality and justice for all, and it started with slavery, you know. So it started to deconstruct and destruct itself immediately as it was formed, and it will fall. So we can help it along certainly in certain ways, but I think the focus has to be on how do we engage nation building, and central to that is how do we develop an economic base that is going to assist us in terms of putting in place the kind of national structure on a global level that we need to institute. And we have the resources to do it. And that's why the engagement in developing control of the mineral wealth, and this will happen within the next 2 to 5 years. We have a strategy. When I say we, I'm talking about there's a group of people working to put a strategy in place. something like the Marshall Plan. I call it the Harambe Plan. Are working to put in place a strategy that allows African countries to gain control of their mineral wealth within the next 2 to 5 years. Okay, and so as we strategize along those lines, we also have to strategize in terms of how we reconstruct the social structure, the educational structure. Brother David talked about communications, but we also have to restructure the educational platform. We have to organize the youth. That's one of the reasons why I deal with youth, because the youth are the future. You know, 75% of the African population is 35 or under. And so it becomes important because people talk about, well, you know, you got to deal with the corruption and all that. But if you start working with the youth, just like the Pan-African Congresses work with the African leadership up until the fifth Congress, you know, where they decided on a plan for independence, then that's the way you have to work with the youth today. You have to start training them now. You have to start working with them now. You have to start engaging with them now. Giving them instruction and giving them the latitude to develop and grow as leaders who are conscious and progressive and move towards unification of the continent and the diaspora together. You start with the youth. So I think those are key areas. But again, the focus, I think, should be mostly on how we develop in these areas. Again, coming back to the industries of agriculture, you know, the food industry is a $30 trillion per day industry. And if we only had a small market share of that, that would be enough for us to do what we need to do on the continent as well as in the diaspora. And with the kind of resources that Africa has in terms of its soil, the climate, and everything, we are already working. I've been working with a sister, Sea Lady of Watts, Anna Marie Carter, for the last 10 years, and we have a structure in place where we have African farmers who we are contracted with who will be growing food for us. We use California style. Ways of manufacturing food, so we can do manufactured food, we can do raw products, any way you want them. We have over 80 million products. We customize according to whatever the specifications of the client or customer wants. So we have all those things in place. We have an air cargo service, so we can. We can either take a helicopter into those areas that have bad roads and get the food out to the portals, either air portals or ship portals to export food. And so we have the whole system in place. We have the ability to get financing for farmers and to set up markets, malls, you know, so that we have a distribution system. So those are the things that we can focus on in terms of, like we had said earlier, on a macro level to help build the infrastructure within African countries as we become more involved and engaged. You have another question, Brother Jay? You're on mute, I think.
Yeah, but I do. While he's unmuting himself.
I got to get ready to... I'm muted or what? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes, sir.
Yes, I can hear you now.
Because I got another program at 8:30, so I'm going to have to get ready to go.
But okay, sir.
I hope that Satire can bring you back and David can bring you back another time, because you have some good points, but I'm going to just say this. Elijah Muhammad basically had the same type of concept. You know, our problem is that enough of us cannot get engaged to the same mindset because too many of us is tied to other people controlling our thinking and our behavior. You know what I'm saying? So a lot will have to happen to get enough of us on the same concept. And at the rate it's going, it would just take a lot more years unless something very drastic will happen to change our thinking process all of a sudden. But that's another conversation. So I hope that you can come back another time.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I appreciate it.
Let me jump in here too real quick. Is there any type of websites or information that we can get? Because they say that some of us on here may want to get involved with some of the, some of the diaspora things, so that like a lot of us have wealth and gifts and talents that we can share as well as receive too. So is there any type of information we can contact you, or you can point us into some directions and how we can get involved?
Yes, anybody can contact me at our email is Congress of African People 77 at gmail.com. And I don't, for those who are very serious, I don't mind giving my phone out either. It's 310-567-9807. I have a consultancy business. LLC, and so I do consulting work for African, well, not just African, but for projects, but mainly for Africa, though. So we do that kind of work also. The website that we have is www.simbamot, that's S-I-M-B-A, Simba, which means lion in Swahili, and then Maat, M-A-A-T, .blogspot.com. And that's where all the writings, excuse me, that come out of the Congress of African People are on that site. We have a very robust manifesto there, and I'm in the process of writing up what I referred to earlier as the Harambe Plan. I'm in the process of writing that plan up, which will deal with specifics that we can engage in as we move towards linking up with the African continent.
Yeah, because I asked you that question because when we started the National Black Unity News, we had a brother from Ghana that was working with us. We even built a website to try to connect Africans, Americans with the African, from the continent. And so we can do business with one another. And, it's interesting is that because, like I say, we want to go, the National Black Unity News wants to go to America and beyond, because we all are one, I believe. And I know that all of us, we have resources that we can share with one another. And I know for a fact, just from the people that I deal with in the National Black Unity News, we have everything we need. And all we have to do is just pull those resources together and work with one another. And in this day, it just takes some kind of cohesiveness or some type of system that we can all agree to and put our little egos on the side and work for the good of the people. And then I think, matter of fact, I know we can do it, So, but again, I appreciate you, sir. I really appreciate you, for the work that you're doing, what you have done, and what you're going to do. So anybody else, before we close out, want to, ask the brother some questions or information, anything?
Yeah, I just want to thank the brother for coming on. How you doing? My name is Vernon Street. I'm the events coordinator for the National Black Unity News. The information was very, very informative. And, people my age, my age group, we need to get involved, with what's going on. I mean, if we want to secure our future, we have to start thinking about things to put in place so they can take place. And I just thank you for coming on, sharing that information. I will be going to the site and trying to get more information.
And brother Vernon, I appreciate those comments.
Yes, sir.
And also one of the things that we're doing, we talked about institutions. One of the things that we're trying to revive as an institution is a Council of Elders, a National Council of Elders. And one of the projects that I helped to write up the proposal for the Council of Elders. So one of the projects that will come out of that is to build a rites of passage program. And rites of passage doesn't just refer to young people. It also refers to different stages of life. So we have a program for the young toddlers. We have one for the teenagers. We have one for those from 25 to 45 and 45 to 55 or 60. Then you're preparing to become an elder. And so it's a whole conceptual program that we look towards putting together. And we're going to have a mass meeting on this this coming Sunday. And it's going to be posted. It's going to be posted on our site. You can find us on Facebook. We have 60 groups on Facebook. And if you type in CAP, C-A-P, many of our rooms will come up. I have several accounts on Facebook. The main ones are CAP Tabaila and Harambe Plan. Those are my two main sites that I use. And we have like 21,000 people that we connect with on our different sites from all around the world. We have blacks, like I said, from the islands, Australia, Netherlands, even in China and India. So we connect with African descendants all over the globe.
You know, you mentioned that because I'm here in Maryland. I sit on the board of Maryland Council of Elders. You know, and
oh wow, really?
Yeah.
brother, please send me some information on that.
Okay, great.
You have my email. Please send me some information on that, or you can just call me 310-567-9807, I would love to get some information on that, and I'd love to get your email and anyone else's email you like to give me. We send out notices for the Sunday meeting coming up. We were meeting every Friday, but we had some infiltrators that came in. After two years of working, we're just getting around to trying to revive it now. But if you can send me your information, I'll put you on our email list.
Yes, well, I'm gonna give a brother some time, and we're gonna change information so that make sure that you get everything. And like I said, I appreciate you coming on. And we don't have too much time left, but you know we control our own time. But again, I appreciate you, sir, for coming on. Like I said, you're a wealth of information. And as far as I'm concerned, you right to the point because there is hope. I always believe that, you know, and I know.
Definitely.
I have no weak because right now, not on a national or international scale, but we have come together. There's people on there, you know, it's about 25 or 30 of us in this paper.
Right.
It's a collaboration.
Yes, sir.
We all pull our resources together. And so our paper is self-sufficient. Because of that, you know.
What is that you're showing, Brother Vernon?
Yeah, this is a copy of it
of the
National
paper.
Black Unity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, great, great.
Yeah, and I'll send you
a
copy
of it. Is
there a website for that? Yes, it is. It's TNBUN.com, the National Black Unity News. TNBUN.
Send it to me. Send me the website or text it to me. Have Brother Jolly text it to me.
Right.
And I can look it up.
Because
I like to post it. I like to post it on some of our sites too on Facebook.
Okay, fantastic. We definitely do that. And like I said, I have no doubt we're going to be interchanging quite a few information. And, and not only just say change all because,
yes, sir.
You know, because I don't know. I'm an elder. I see you want to as well. We don't know how much time we got on this earth, but you know, we have a wealth of information that we have. And, you know, like I always tell people, the worst thing that can happen to me is to go to my grave and not share this information that I have with some of our young folks to keep this thing going, you know. And so that's why I understand when you say dealing with these young people.
Right.
But they have the energy and the technology, and all they need is some guidance and our information, and they're going to take that ball and run with it, you know.
Exactly. Well, Brother David, you know, I believe in the ancestors. I believe in the African concept of ancestorhood. And I believe that the ancestors have given me a task, a mission, and I don't believe that the ancestors will take me out of here until I've at least put the mission on the path where it can run itself. So I don't have no fear of death or anything like that because I just live to manifest the mission that I was put here for every day when I wake up. And so with that, a note, too, you know, there are some things that I wish I could share with you, but I can't right now for security reasons.
I understand. Believe me, I understand.
But when I say that in 2 to 5 years, Africans will have control of their wealth, I have definite information to know that that will happen. Okay. And so, we're on the path, to righteousness. It's just a matter of bringing along as many brothers and sisters as possible with us.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, Brother Satawi, you still there with us, sir?
I'm still here. Can you hear me, Dave?
Yeah, yes, sir, you got it.
Okay, yeah. I want to thank Brother Kabaila for coming on, and the blog talk recording of this I will post on his CAP webpage, his CAP Facebook pages.
Great.
And I will make sure that everyone that was part of the National Black Unity News podcast for the night, that they have access to his information so that y'all can reach out to him on his own, on your own. And again, I just want to say, Sante Sana, Brother Kabaila, and
Sante to you.
It was great having you on, and we have to do this again because
of course, there's
other things we could go into in a little bit more detail.
Right.
But the main thing is that we also have a directory, and Dave, if you want to share with him about the directory real quick,
not only do we, like I say, my thing, my little branch of the world is this. Like I say, it's communication, but connecting the dots, identify who and where we are across this country. And I've been doing this for almost 35, 40 years. Now, I have what you call, I stopped putting my database together when I hit to reach 263,000. I just stopped. There's too much data. I'm not a typist,
right.
So can you imagine? But I know where the resources are in this country.
Right.
And we scatter and we do amazing things. We got all of these national organizations, but they organize within themselves, but they're not connected with the larger part. And so,
right.
But all of these resources, see, that's why I say I see it and I know
yes,
it.
Right.
And like I said, and I know how to reach all of those, this thing, but in this directory, Brother Satav is talking about is to identify the who we are. We even got it, so it's free.
Yes.
We can put you in there for free. It's a paid, thing in there when you get more information in there. But
okay.
The directory and the purpose of this, again, is to find out who and where we are so that we can start supporting one another, keep that money circulating amongst ourselves. And then, that's just the beginning. But once we identify who and where we are, because if they see the world the way I see it, the way I know it to be, because like I say, I see brothers who own a group of hotels here in California, and then we got brothers over here, but they don't even deal with each other. They got all of this, doing this pretty much the same thing. But collectively, can you see the power that we have?
That's
you
right.
Say, again, and then you say the resources.
That's
that,
right.
That not only we can take here, but throughout the diaspora together.
And I
see it so clearly, and that's why I do the things that I do, that's why I sit here and listen to you intently, because just let you know that people out here are working it. God is working it. This is, like I say, even this here, it is through the answers and divinely put together, because we need to know one another. We need to share our resources with one another. So,
I just want to say this.
Oh, go ahead, Brother Vern.
Yeah, we need to create our own platforms. Like this is the National Black Unity News.
Yes.
It's a newspaper, and we need to have our own Facebook. We need to have our own everything, because
a lot
of times we do things on these platforms and they get shut down. We have our own platform. We control it. We won't be cut off.
That's right.
And guess what else this brother doing, this young brother doing? He creating his own station. That's why he got the background stuff sitting up there. He creating his own channel.
Fantastic.
Share all over the country. So people, 24/7 operations. So people who have information want to share. So the brother, he's working on it right now as we speak. So like I said, there's all type of resources out here. And we have the technology, as you mentioned. And it's just that, we just have to connect the dots and execute those plans, not only locally, but internationally as well.
Right. And like I said, please feel free to utilize our CAP sites. Like I said, we connect with over 21,000 people around the world, and feel free to connect. We have some people who use the different sites. One sister uses our fashion room, where we have, I think we have over 6,500 people in our fashion room alone. And the sister, she uses that to do her programming. She does head wraps and stuff. So any kind of program you want to do on any of our pages, we have two rooms that Congress of African People rooms that have 4,000 people. Our news room, Sankofa Press, I think we have about 2,500 people there. We're gonna and see what I do is I add people from my different accounts, and so and I just need to sit down and do that again one day to add people to those different rooms, especially the important ones like the news rooms, because we give out some really important news that you're not going to get anywhere else.
I hear you. That's
CNN
right.
Or MSNBC. So it's very important that we share the news of what's going on, particularly like what's going on in Mozambique right now, where they're trying to support what they call a rebel group, but really it's a bunch of mercenaries that are trying to disrupt the country so that the West can come in and take over the oil and natural gas. But we're going to deal. We have a strategy for that too. But we need to be working collectively on these things, so that we're all in sync with each other. And I want to applaud Brother Vernon also for the work you're doing in terms of setting up your own station. That's very much needed. Like I said, communications is central to anything that we do, because without the flow of information, then, we're isolated.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I can tell people we own less than 1% of the media in this country.
Right.
That's a shame. But, small voice. But, we have a lot of voices, just that they just not connected,
Exactly.
But I appreciate you. So we go anybody else before we close this thing down? Okay. With that being said, sir, again, I appreciate you.
Thank you.
For you taking your time, sir, and much love and respect to you. And to all the people who's on the call, who's on Blog Talk Live, who's on Facebook Live and all the other formats, we appreciate you. And again, just stay strong, and you will be hearing from me. And I'm quite sure you'll be hearing from us.
I appreciate it, my brother.
Thank you, sir. And thank you, Brother Satawi, Vernon, those who still Kathleen Murphy, and a couple other people I see here that's still with us. So I'm going to bid you all a pleasant good night. And thank you again, sir. And
thank you.
Thank you. Stay strong.
For sure. Likewise.
Okay. Good night.
All right. Good night, David.
Take care.
Goodbye.
Okay, that concludes the broadcast of the National Black Unity News Podcast for the night. And as we close out each and every time when we do the broadcast, I do a short, quick, brief recap. Go to, again, I guess Facebook page is, go to CAP on Facebook. You'll be able to see all of the different rooms that they have and be able to pull up that information. Also, his phone number, hold on here, let me pull it up real quick. His phone number is 310-567-9807, and that's Brother Nwalimu Kabaila, and you can reach him at 310-567-9807. Feel free to call him. You got the information from us right here on Blog Talk Radio. And again, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. And we close out with a theme song called It's My Time. Thank you. Good night, everybody.